there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Welcome to the podcast. Today we are doing a very special World Cup edition of the conversation. Both of us being huge football fans, well, except for Rune here, but
I think
otherwise
you have enough for both of us, right?
Yeah, I think so, maybe. So, well, before we do the beer thing, our customary beer thing, Rune, I'll just ask you this. Did you see any football today?
Today?
Yes.
Now we're recording Tuesday.
Yes.
And no, nothing.
There were three World Cup games today. One is on right now.
So you have it on in the background?
I just turned it off.
Okay. So, no. I have seen one game, though. One and a half, actually.
All right.
Well, two halves. An Icelandic game where they played against Argentina.
Yes.
And a Danish one where I think we played against Peru.
That's right. And beat them.
We won. Yeah.
How was Erling? Is she like back to normal after the Argentina game?
Yeah, she's fine. She's good.
Yeah.
She was happy.
She was excited.
Yeah. She was out watching it with some of her colleagues at a huge place here.
Okay.
Huge screening. Okay. Didn't want to spend time with me and her daughter watching the game. So we had to sit here and watch it by ourselves.
Yeah.
We actually watched some of it. Yeah. We were both very excited.
Yeah.
I like seeing Messi, you know, because it's the guy that I know. It's the one guy I know. And it's fun to see the Icelandic team struggle.
Do well.
Yeah, exactly.
Not struggle. There was no struggling.
Well, everyone's struggling.
There was
when
defending. There was no struggling, really.
No. No. That's true.
Anyways,
they did well.
Anyways, mm-hmm. Let's get to the beer. What are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking a beer that was selected by my daughter. I took her to to a big grocery store and asked if she wanted to pick one out for me. And this is a beer called Spelt.
Spelt. That's spelt wheat thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's obviously probably organic as well. And it's pale. And it's from a great brewery called Thisted Brewery.
Okay.
Danish.
Another Danish
thing.
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's patriotic.
Yeah.
You are.
I mean, for the World Cup, you need to support your country and all that kind of stuff.
There you go.
And I've taught my daughter well.
Yeah, looks like it.
She might have picked an Icelandic beer if we could actually get Icelandic beer here in Denmark. But
you can't get Icelandic beer in Denmark? Really?
I've only seen one place that actually had Einstök.
Yeah, okay.
But it's not... There's not a lot of import from Iceland here.
That's a good beer.
Yeah, Einstök?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Nice.
Yeah. It smells a little bit of weed.
Of wheat, really? Gotta get me some of that.
Yeah. Mm. Doesn't taste like it as much as it smells like it. I do know that smell due to my neighbor who smokes quite a bit. Fumes coming out sometimes. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, what are you drinking?
Okay. I'm being patriotic as well. I've given my whole garden a little rest today, and I went to Icelandic, of course, from a little brewery called Segull 67, and the beer is called that Segull 67, or pretty much Magnet 67. Mm-hmm. It's a wheat beer,
of course.
Surprises no. there. And it also says Fruity Summer, and it looks weird. The label is not a seller for me.
No.
The label is more of a kind of a, you know, summer special thing. Yeah. Kind of. But I have high hopes.
But it's fruity. And I like... So...
Yes, it is fruity, apparently. We'll see, though. But it's from this brewery in Siklufjord, which is a place... Have you been there? It's in the north.
I don't think so. It's not towards...
Beautiful. Beautiful place.
It's not at the fjords and all that kind of stuff.
It's yeah.
Yeah?
It's Siklufjord actually means Siklufjord.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... it's a beautiful place, picturesque, high mountains.
Mm. I've been in Ísafjörður.
Yes, you have.
Yeah. Is that anywhere close by?
No, that's in the West Fjords.
Yes. Same.
Yes.
But it's up north.
Yes, it's up north. You should visit it one day, and you will.
Yeah,
I'll take you.
That'll be good. It's so annoying going around Iceland, though, when you have to go in and out of all those fjords. It would be nice to just have a bridge instead of being able to...
But then you miss all little special little places.
Well, maybe, yeah.
You don't want that.
Well, when we went to Ísafjörður, we basically just drove in a fjord and out. Of one, and then in yes. again and out again. And on yes. the map, I was following it on Google Maps, and we were basically like 15 kilometers away from Ísafjörður. But yeah. we had to drive for almost 2 hours because we had to yeah, go in and out.
It's so expensive to do like yeah. tunnels and bridges and stuff like that. So
yeah. we could swim.
There are only very almost. Few of us that live on this tiny island, so... Well, big island, but tiny populations.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that later.
Okay.
I will be sipping my beer now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are
it
you
looks
ready?
Good. It looks like a Hoegaarden.
It actually does. And it's supposed to be Belgian's kind of a thing
mm-hmm.
with the coriander and the yeah. orange peel.
Yeah. I see, you're excited.
It's a good beer.
Yeah?
Yes, I'm impressed. This is very good.
Wow.
It's very light, though.
But yeah. bad light?
It's refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Fruity.
It's a summer beer.
Summer beer. Basically yeah. everything, all the adjectives you put on before, it's actually that.
Well, it is summer. I mean, it was like 8 degrees today, so there you go.
Wow. Yeah, it's chilling down here. Chilling down? Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit.
So... So let's talk about what we've been doing. Have you been watching anything special?
Nothing really special, no. There's one thing that I'm excited about, though.
Okay.
Because the trailer for the new, I think it's Showtime series? No, I'm not All right. quite sure. Called Kidding has been released.
That's Jim Carrey, isn't it?
Jim Carrey. And yes. it's Michel Gondry.
Yes.
Which makes it even more interesting because it would be the same.
They've done well together.
Yeah. Had Charlie Kaufman been attached to it as well, then I would be all like shaking right yeah. now. But unfortunately not. But still, you get two of those big good players from Eternal Sunshine and of the Spotless Mind. And, you know, I think it's 28th or 2nd of... It's at least in September it's going to be released. And it's going to be shown on HBO Nordic here.
Yes.
So that's one to look forward to. It's about Jim Carrey playing some children show character.
Mm-hmm.
Was based on some guy called Mr. Rogers,
okay.
who is extremely popular, or was extremely popular in the States, and it's just
yeah,
over
well
our heads
liked.
Here.
Yes.
Yeah. But apparently a very well-liked guy who did really good children's shows with good moral values and all that kind of stuff. And Jim Carrey is playing that kind of role.
Okay,
so cool. I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, I mean it's not really unusual that we haven't been watching much since this is being recorded on the 19th of June, mm-hmm. because I'm going away for a few days.
Yeah, temporarily.
Temporarily.
Yeah. This is not our last show.
But so we only had like a few days to watch something, yeah. and you know, life gets in the way and all that.
Yeah.
But I have been watching, not much either, except for the 9-9, the Brooklyn 9-9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You haven't caught up on that?
No. I tried finding it the other day, but Eileen told me that she wanted to watch Parks and Rec.
Did you tell her that Parks and Rec is directly related to the 9-9?
No, and I did not know.
Okay. The creator is writer. He was on the writing staff, and he wrote the song Little Sebastian and all that.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that before, but it's not like story-wise related to each other. It's not Bonnie.
No.
It's Brooklyn.
It's Brooklyn. So. It's, I would call it a mix between Parks and Scrubs, maybe. Something like that.
Yeah, that's style. The Scrubs thing. Yeah. Rubs me the wrong way, maybe a little bit.
Okay,
so you've been watching that. I can then talk a little bit about a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
That I accidentally watched. I don't really remember how. No, I was doing chores at home. I was alone. I put it on. I relaxed for a little while, watched it, did some things, and watched it again. I really wanted to see Jeff Goldblum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the marketing for Jurassic World Kingdom,
Jurassic Fallen Kingdom,
something.
Yeah.
They're really capitalizing on them having Jeff Goldblum in that movie again. And, you know, I really like Jeff.
I do too.
I think he's great. Like I love his presence, and he's always a little bit like with a glint in his eye, and just doesn't really take things too seriously. I really like that. And and Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Actually, it fits with this Nordic theme of the World Cup, and that we're going to win the World Cup and all that, right?
Like Ragnarok. Really? Okay.
I don't know. Like Ragnarok, we're going to make ravage.
Ragnarok something. Means the end of the world, doesn't it?
Yes. And
maybe it could be the end of the world as you know it.
Yeah. Because the now world, Iceland is going to win. Yes,
the world, you know, where Iceland had not won the World Cup.
Yeah.
Yes.
But anyway, I watched Thor Ragnarok, and I enjoyed Jeff Goldblum's presence as the game master something.
I saw you gave it 3 stars.
Yeah.
Five, that's pretty...
For a Marvel film, this was actually kind of funny. I was actually laughing a little bit sometimes. Maybe it was out of pity sometimes. somehow, but it... It worked in some ways, and it was totally just a comedy, jokey thing all the way through. Mm. It's a little bit like it was so referential of the whole Marvel universe, maybe even a little bit too much. I don't like that all these movies are connected in those ways. One thing when I watched Avengers, the first Avengers film, one of the reasons why I really didn't like it was because they put Thor and the Hulk together. And, you know, I've grown up with Nordic mythology, and also just this Marvel version of Thor is just really weird, and I can't understand that it's supposed to be some space kind of thing, like they're like a space alien race almost, other than not really gods. And you know, I don't really like that. But this movie is very much Thor and the Hulk's movie. And they're just so jokey about the whole thing and pointing fun at how absurd everything is. So therefore, it kind of works as that. But
so it doesn't take itself too seriously then?
Too seriously would be too much to say. I mean, it's not serious in any way.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, and then it has this 80s vibe. I like the soundtrack, actually. It was kind of 80s. Yeah.
People are going back to the 80s for music now these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for, you know, settings. So,
yeah.
That's good.
And then trying to go back to that like lighthearted 80s thing. Kind of like Glow. It had that vibe also.
Kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah.
Stranger Things.
You know, I've also heard that they wanted Thor to be this, character who could match Chris Pratt from Guardians of the Galaxy now that they put them together in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
The last, like, Avengers film. And therefore, they had to do this full-on, like, farce. No, not farce, but, like, comedic take on Thor in order for that to work in the final film here. So, yeah. Thor, Ragnarok. It was actually fun. Yeah.
Good.
You can put that on the front.
Yeah. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yes. Ah. Now I'll take a little bit more beer here.
My good, okay.
Beer.
I'm almost finishing my beer here. It's so refreshing.
Yes.
Anyway, I can report that I have been watching the World Cup. And of course, when these words are spoken, it's we're 3 days away from Iceland's second game against Nigeria on Friday.
Yeah.
We beat Argentina on Saturday 1-1.
You did not beat them?
We beat them 1-1.
You drew them?
Yeah.
Tied them?
Sure. Okay. But yeah. Really, we beat them 1-1. That's what we're saying here.
Of course.
I mean, it's a marvel, isn't it? This side, this adventure. You wouldn't really, if you're not following sports at all, you don't really get. Do you get that? That this is a really, really special thing that's happening here with Iceland? Do you?
I do live with an Icelandic person.
Yes, and she is like mad for football.
Yes.
Yes.
And she's trying to drag Röskva into it as well. You know, okay. They both have their football outfits and
yeah.
They know all the things that you need to yell. Áfram Ísland, or in the Baltan, or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah, I understand that it's a huge thing. Also, not being interested in football, I understand being a very, very small nation and finally being in the World Cup and actually tying Argentina.
Well, Argentina has like a population of like, I think it's 44 million or something like that.
Yeah.
And this huge tradition and the best player in the world, some say. And this selection of superstars to pick from. And we have our guys. Very, 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 very good team, though.
Mm-hmm.
I would go as far as saying that this team, it's incredible, actually.
Just
as a team. And having to play team sports, I don't expect you to understand that. I'm guessing you didn't play team sports.
I was swimming.
In a team?
And sometimes you swim in a team, like four people, and you have to. But everything when you're swimming, you're kind of doing it individually. You're not cooperating.
Yeah.
But you all want to win together.
Yeah. And actually, this team is like these 11 guys on the field of play, and then there's like the 300 odd thousand that are like on the edge of their seats back home.
And, so you're part of the team.
I guess I am. I'm sporting the strip here. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The shirt.
Yeah.
And yeah, but it's a special thing. It is. And the world is taking notice now, and Iceland is everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah. A lot of people want to cheer for the underdog.
Yeah, you always have that smirk on your face when I talk about football. You're like...
Yeah, I really appreciate how excited you are about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And how excited other people are about it.
I'm actually more leveled than most people regarding this. I actually do think that even if the nation is it has 350,000 people, give or take, they're not all on the field of play. You have 11, and the other team, even though there are like millions and millions population, there are still 11 on the field of play.
Mm-hmm.
So you always have a chance. But for the nation, for us, our tiny island, it's just huge. It's huge.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why.
Yes, please.
It's because of something that's called island mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's partly some kind of a superiority complex,
mm-hmm.
and partly some kind of an inferiority complex.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're so small and we're not really in the world news every day or any day.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone does like really well,
mm-hmm.
Everybody takes note.
Yeah.
And for a nation of this size to even just play in this biggest sporting event in the world, it's just awesome. And it kind of gives us a boost, you know? We're there. We kind of mm-hmm. need to I think that's the island mentality. You need to go out and achieve something and actually get noticed. I think that's it.
Yeah. I think it's quite right what you're saying. You know, I think it's quite amazing how many talented artists, for instance, that has come out of Iceland.
Yeah, musicians, for instance.
Musicians, yeah. It's huge.
Yeah.
Compared to how small Iceland is. So yeah.
It's like the city of Coventry in Britain,
yeah.
Similar size, yes. It's like 1/15 of Denmark or something, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. But I just wanted to say that it's special for us. We love it, mm-hmm. and we're so proud.
Yeah.
And we're gonna beat Nigeria.
Of course you are.
Yes.
Like and I think that you have a lot of goodwill from everyone else around the world, really.
Yeah.
You know, I see updates from like Facebook friends just saying like cheering on Iceland. Also people who have no connection to Iceland. It's just like you want Iceland to do well.
Yeah. We're flavor of the month, I think,
yeah.
for now. Mm-hmm. But what the other point I wanted to make here is that people shouldn't be so surprised.
No.
Because we got to the World Cup by actually winning our group.
Yeah.
Which was probably the strongest group in the European qualification. And we just came off a great European Championship Finals 2016, yeah. where we beat England. So people shouldn't really be surprised. We have, I think,
a good
what's
team.
Most important in team sports today, or football at least, organization and team spirit and mm-hmm. all that's important, and also a world class player and some very 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 good players.
Yeah.
So people shouldn't be this surprised, and look at the population all the time. It's not just. It's more complicated than that, actually. But
yeah.
So I see you're like turning around. Is Rashka, is Rashka waking up?
Elin is just back.
She's back.
Making
she's
noise back from Tango.
Yeah, she's back from Tango.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Now that we stopped anyway, I'll just go all and right. be all like, hey, close the door.
Sure. I'm
recording here. So.
So, was everything okay there, Rune?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Yeah.
I'm back. I'm back now.
No more clamoring in the kitchen?
No, nothing. and the door is closed.
Yeah. You know. I went down and got a new beer.
Yeah. Did you catch some of the game that was on right now?
I did not. Oh, I did not. I think it's over though.
Okay.
So, but I got a whole carton. I only bought one of those fruity fruits from Siglfjord. So,
should get more.
I should get more. Yeah, it's very fruity.
Wow. We have such great vocabulary when it comes to describing beer.
And other things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, well, I was talking about football. I think I made my point.
You're excited. The whole nation is excited. And basically the whole world is excited for Iceland.
There you go. That's all I'm going to say on the subject.
Yeah.
But I guess we should just get to the main event this evening. And I did select this film. Actually, this whole World Cup special is my brainchild. And Rune has been a very good sport playing along with me. So
well, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I owe him one, I think now.
I think so.
I think there's a computer game version and coming in the future sometime.
Let's see.
We'll see.
Anyway, I'm going to force you to like give games a chance at some point.
I will pay you back at some point. That's for sure.
But now we are going to discuss a movie that revolves around war and the beautiful game called soccer or football.
Football, really.
Football.
Yes.
Well, we are going to talk about Escape to Victory.
In 1942, the Nazis thought they were sitting on top of the world, never suspecting that they could be toppled in one conflict, the most unusual battle of the war.
It has been decided that a German national team will play a combined team from the prisoners of war of the occupied territories.
That's crazy.
Okay, I'm ready to sign up.
Sign up, Hank.
And you ought to be exhibited in Paris like performing fleas.
What about me?
That was a clip from Escape to Victory, or Victory, as it's called over here. It's a John Huston movie from 1981, and it's a World War II movie about soccer.
I really wish you would say football.
But you know,
it's
I'm speaking
pandering
American.
Pandering to the Americans.
Yes, I know. But you know.
This is the only real football. I like American football, by the way. I love it, actually.
Yeah.
But it's not football. There's barely any kicking at all.
There's no kicking. I don't understand football.
There's some kicking, but barely none. So, just, you know, I just wanted to interject that.
Yeah.
There you go. Go ahead.
I'm probably going to say soccer anyway.
Okay. All right.
Like at one point, I realized that my accent is more American than British. So I'm spelling color with an O. I changed everything out to be American.
I still say bath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say
proudly.
Bath.
Proudly.
Yes. And, you know, you have the British attitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think
sarcasm and stuff like that.
Yeah, but also pronunciation wise.
Yeah, all right.
You know, you have more of the open ass.
Yeah.
Open ass.
Yeah. Open ass. Yes, Trigvi has the open ass. Arse. But
oh man,
I think that's not time okay. To say. Anyways,
I'll try and humor you.
Okay,
but anyway, it's a movie taking place in like during the World War II, 1942, I think, and it's about some prisoners of war who are being asked to play a soccer match against Germans in order to get a bit more food and be treated a little bit better.
So you're just hanging in there with the soccer thing, huh?
Yeah. Did I say soccer?
Yes. Jeez.
See, I told you. I'm trying, but it's just in right. there, you know? Well, okay. They play football.
Yes. Yes, they do.
And you're using their feet.
Yes.
And the movie stars Sylvester Stallone as the American, and we have Mark Hocaine.
Yes, well done.
playing the Brit, the English guy who is going to teach a bunch of people how to play football.
He used to be a football star.
Yeah,
I mean his character.
Believe it or not. He was a football star.
Yeah. I mean, he's 48 when this is filmed. So yeah. He played in the match, but it's not really believable, you know?
No. I mean,
but there's it's some fine.
Yeah. I guess. And then we have some football players.
Don't forget Max von Sydow.
Oh, yeah. Also, yeah.
Yes.
Max von Sydow, but he has so little to do, and he's basically just playing a German guy, German soldier, general,
captain or captain, colonel or something,
who is actually fair, you know?
Yeah,
he's actually a nice Nazi, if you will.
If you will, yes.
Yeah. And then we have a football player. Do you want to introduce the football player
who is in this
movie?
I'll take it from here.
Yes.
We have Pelé, the best player that ever lived, some people say.
Yes.
We have Bobby Moore, the famous Englishman who lifted the 1966 World Cup trophy for England. And Ossie Ardiles, the third World Cup winner with Argentina in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
All of them appearing in this film, and Pelé even has some lines. And
he does. And he comes from
Brazil.
But in this movie,
he's from
Jamaica,
something like that. Yes,
yeah.
Trinidad or something like that. Trinidad.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Let's just say he's not an actor. Let's just leave it at that.
I mean, we have a bunch of football players who are not actors.
Yeah, but I think he's the only one who has lines, really.
Mm.
I mean, Bobby Moore doesn't have a line. He nods and hums and something like that. But you know, you can't go wrong with that if you don't have any lines. I mean, it's difficult to fuck that up. So?
Guess so.
I mean, I guess we could just start with the acting. I mean, okay, confession. I like Sly. I'm a Sly guy.
Okay. like you like him in general? You like him?
There's something honest about him.
Okay.
And also maybe because he's gotten such a bad rap sometimes for his work. And of course, he's made some awful action crap.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I don't see why he's like pillared with criticism all the time about his acting. I think he's fine, especially in this film. I think he's pretty good, actually.
You do?
Yeah, it's pretty natural. Yeah? What do you think?
Well, I kind of disagree with you.
Okay. That's always good.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I... throughout this movie, I was just thinking, what are basically all these people doing in this movie? And I was amazed that they were in a movie about the soccer, and it just seemed so, like, it just seemed weird, you know? And yeah, Sylvester Stallone just really honing in on this whole American, I don't get football.
There you go.
And being this, yeah, cocky American person, I don't know, like, it's just, it was so over the top the way he acted that. And
I mean, do you mean like in the football scenes mostly?
Well, because especially the scenes, football scenes, yeah, where he's pretending to be a goalkeeper. Also,
I mean, he did some scenes with the English Legion there, and he did some scenes in France.
Yeah,
and I think he just came off really well when he was not playing. Of course, when he's playing, that's different. I mean, he's jumping and throwing himself at things. Yeah, things. Yeah. And it's all a bit weird, but otherwise, I was happy with Sly. I like Sly.
For me, it's so hard to look through specific performances when I feel the movie, like the whole plot, was so bad. You know, like, I couldn't take it seriously. And when I looked at Sylvester Stallone, I just saw Sylvester Stallone. And I thought that was fun somehow to see Sylvester Stallone in this kind of movie, because I've never seen him play in a movie like this before. Like, where you play soccer, and you're actually also being like, you're pretending to be serious, at least, because it's a very serious issue, escaping from a prisoner camp, and going to the resistance in France. So I mean, there's some serious issues here.
Yes, it's a serious thing, and they should be able to evoke some emotion.
Yeah,
at some point.
But they don't. But they use, you know, like throughout, like, no, during, like, around the halfway point of this movie, Sylvester Stallone is escaping the prison camp, and goes to France, and what they spend most of this time with is just to introduce a love story with the only woman in the whole movie, and. They don't even spend that much time on it. It's probably like 5 minutes, and for some reason she falls in love with him before talking to him, and in the same conversation where she says she doesn't want to lose him. I mean, it was a very weird scene, and it just, like, to me it just undermined the whole, like whatever seriousness that should be in this movie, it just didn't work. I'm sorry.
I agree. It's a bit embarrassing not to be able to evoke some emotion when dealing with people that in this situation. And the whole script, even though it's, the structure is all right. Structure is always all right. I mean, it's 2 hours. It's way too long, I guess. But structurally, it kind of holds up. But it's missing the entire... It never draws you in, does it? You never feel for anyone. There's this one scene when the Eastern European prisoners come.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to play with them. And they look absolutely beaten. Then that's maybe 1 minute out of 117 minutes that you actually think, yeah, okay, so prisoners of war actually had it pretty crappy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And you know, that is one of my points here. Like, you didn't get the stakes. I mean, you know World War II. You know what was going on at those camps. But then you're being introduced to this camp where everybody is just all fine, you know?
This is a POW camp,
It's not a concentration camp camp. Yeah. But, you know, it's still a prisoner's camp. Prisoners of war. And they even have a character saying to, well, some other character in there, make no mistake, even though it seems like we're doing really well here, we're actually still prisoners and we really want to escape. Like, they're saying that line just to make sure, okay, even though we still want to escape, because that's what you want to do when you're a prisoner. They try to reason it in some way. And it just seems like a very logical thing to do for them, just to stay put until the war ends, because it didn't seem like there was any immediate threat from any way, only if you actually tried to escape.
Yeah, basically, you know? It was just, it felt unreal. And even there's like a like an English few Englishmen there, mm-hmm. and they basically have an office, and
they have an office,
I think it's a colonel or something, the top guy, and he has a mustache, and
yeah,
and he has basically a secretary and a legion of people around him. Then yes. They have a guy
radio.
Who does picture radio,
yeah.
And it's a lot of the English mustaches and jolly good old boy kind of thing. And it's just a little weird. I actually thought that it was a nod to Bridge on the River Kwai.
Okay.
Did you see that at some point?
I think I did a long, long time ago.
Even the music was really... there was a tune there that was really similar. And... I just thought, that's the thing. Okay. That they're trying to recreate that a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just weird, isn't it? I mean, in a German prisoner's camp, you don't get basically an office and no... There's no patrolling them.
No, but that's also... like it's actually what I felt this movie, this movie sparked that thing in me. Like, it's the Nazis are friendly, fairly friendly.
Yeah.
And it seems like you can actually, like, negotiate and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it made me want to dive into whether this was actually something that took place. Was this actually part of World War II? Like some, you know, hidden history that we never hear about. We only hear about all the gruesome stuff, but not how life continues. And you still want to play exhibition matches and stuff like that. Some sports.
And you found that this is actually based on something.
Basically a myth. But they didn't know it was a myth.
No.
Yet.
In 81.
Because it was debunked in the 90s.
Yeah.
This whole thing about a death match.
Yes.
It's built upon or like based on a Ukrainian match between Germany and Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually had several, but the myth says that once Germany lost, they killed kind of like half the players.
Well, the myth said they killed all the players, but it was Ukraine was occupied, of course, in the Second World War and by Germany, and Kiev. There was a team in Kiev that used to play the Germans. And the myth says that at one point the German team had some kind of an exhibition match, mm-hmm. with the Ukrainians, and they were told to lose, and it was rigged, and they were told they would be shot if they did not lose, and they went on to win, and they were shot. But this, like you said, was all debunked in 1992.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's a very interesting story, and the whole premise of it was that, I mean, matches did take place, and Germany did play football with...
Yes, yeah, at least
the countries they occupied.
Yeah, at least it confirms that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, there's a more famous football match in war history than the death match. Mm-hmm. And that is something that happened, I think, and I'm not Googling, I'm just searching mm-hmm. my memory, which is spotty at best. Yeah, yeah. And that's a match that took place on Christmas Eve in 1916 or 17 in the First World War. Okay. And they were doing the whole Fox whole thing, like World War One was terrible, awful mm-hmm. conditions. But there was a truce for a football match between the Germans and the English, and they just thought, okay, well, we'll not shoot now for a couple of hours and just get out there and play. And they did.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is the thing. We should probably check up on that.
That's what I really like about this movie. You know, it shows how sports can actually bring people together in some way. Like, despite the odds, then, like, you still have that. And in this movie, I mean, obviously, they don't really get together. Like, they're going to, like, they're making the whole propaganda spin. But you have Max von Sydow's character, who actually is genuinely just wanting to have an exhibition match and do this friendly game. And he's just really happy that they're having the game, and it's not that much rigged. Or, you know.
Well, he was actually cheering there when the Allied guys scored. But speaking about the Germans, mm-hmm. did you notice that the top German guy in the film, he looks exactly like
Putin.
Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. I have a note saying Putin.
Yeah. It's just that guy is like exactly like him.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I was thinking that too. It doesn't really add too much. Yeah. To the movie.
It's curious.
Mm hmm.
But, I mean, there are many, many, many flaws in the film.
Yeah, but, I mean, I guess you can watch the movie and see that, because there are a lot of people who like this movie. And what I'm thinking is that maybe the reason for that is because it is actually famous football players who are in the movie.
Exactly.
And it's kind of fun to see them if you're into football.
It was fun for me to see Pelé and Bobby Moore. And Ozzy Ardiles, it was good fun, and I recognized some of the faces from there's a team in England called Ipswich Town that mm-hmm. just lent them some of their players to stand in and stuff like that. So I recognized a few faces there as well, mm-hmm. John Wark, for instance. But so yeah, that was in that instance. It's curious for me. It was fun seeing that, but. It does not add quality. I will say that the football scenes, some of them, were okay.
Yeah, except that they focus so much on Stallone. Like, being in the goal, not seeming like he knew what he was doing in there. Like, I'm not playing football, and I could tell that he had no clue what football is about, somehow.
Even you could tell.
Even I can tell, and I, you know, you shouldn't throw me a ball or shoot it to me. Well, I broke my collarbone trying to kick a ball. So there you go.
Yeah.
But Yeah, and also Marco Kane.
Yeah.
Know, the way that he's catching a ball at some point, and while he's fumbling with the ball, he's telling Stallone how he should do things and how he's not even that bad and stuff like that. It's a little bit laughable. I think also maybe the love for this movie, or maybe love is a strong word, but the people who like it probably see those scenes and think, oh, that's kind of funny, right?
Maybe.
And then they judge it in a better light somehow. To me, it just seemed like it, as you say, it was curious. It was very curious and weird to see these people in a soccer football movie.
There you go. we mentioned a few, but there are some really strange things going on here. Like, for instance, this is the exhibition match is taking place in France, but for some reason they fly the English prisoners out there who are not playing. Remember that? Like the English colonel or the guy with the mustache?
Oh, yeah.
They were at the game.
Yeah.
That means the Germans flew them over to France to watch.
Yeah.
That's just weird. That would never happen.
No.
And there were no like guards around them or anything. It was just like spectators.
But there were guards everywhere in the stadium.
You know, yeah, so. Sure, I guess.
But another they couldn't curious... do anything about like the riot or anything.
No.
I mean, they had their guns and all that, but no, you can't do anything.
We'll get to the ending in a bit, but just another curious thing is why did John Huston make this film? When you look at his catalog, just to name a few, I wrote some down and I've seen a few of those. The Maltese Falcon. The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, The Asphalt Jungle, The African Queen, The Misfits, The Man Who Would Be King. These are all his films. This is one of the most respected directors in history.
It is an odd one.
It's really odd.
Yes. But, you know, one of the reasons why maybe he wanted to do a remake of some movie that he really enjoyed, hence making a remake of this movie, which is actually like based on the Zoltán Fábry movie called Two Half Times in Hell, a Hungarian film, which is very different,
which is based on
the myth
of
the death match taking place. Like, apparently it's due to Hitler's birthday. They want to make an exhibition match between Hungary, like prisoners.
Yeah.
Hungarian prisoners and Germany.
Of course, Hungary was occupied.
Yes. And this movie is more, dare I say, like European in the way it ends. Like at least they didn't want this happy end to that movie, apparently.
No.
they were a bit closer to the myth.
Yes. Well, yes, closer, I would say.
Yeah.
Because I think actually a few of the Ukrainians from the original deathmatch myth were actually captured and killed. At some point, but
they were,
like,
but it was not related.
Yeah,
and it was not related to the match.
Yeah,
even so, it was in other occasions.
Yeah,
but maybe he just wanted to remake one of his like movies that he liked. You know,
could be. He did write most of his films. He did not do anything of the sort in this one, and it shows. And he probably just wanted the money, but I'm guessing because this movie made money. It made a lot of money, actually. And that's down to the football stars, I guess.
Yeah.
So, well, that's a curiosity.
It's a curious film. I'm actually very happy that I saw it because I got a little bit into the history of football during wars. and I think that's very strange. I've been trying to look up Zoltán Fáry's movie that it's based on,
yeah,
because I actually want to watch that one. But it's kind of hard to get.
Yeah.
We have to find it somewhere. But yeah, I liked it because of that. I think it was a weird, fun movie to watch. It was just not a very good movie.
It was not very good, but it was something different.
I know it's about wartime and all that kind of stuff, but it always rubs me the wrong way when I don't see any women in a movie other than that one, you know, like love interest.
Pathetic attempt at some kind of an emotional angle.
Yeah, and not having women, like, I don't know. But it was a different time again, you know.
And it's prisoner's camp, I guess.
It is. And, yeah. But
I know what you mean.
Then at least make her a very strong character, like, or well-played one, instead of one that's just pining after Stallone. That's basically what she wants and does in this movie.
Just to finish off, I think we should mention the ending being a bit different from the Hungarian film.
Yes.
And the death match myth.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that is down to the Americans that we love.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the way they like it. And...
you have to end on a high note. Then.
Sure.
Yeah.
It was interesting how they did it, though. How they decided to end it was power to the people kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. It was like that. And I thought that was actually also all right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of these set pieces, they feel right. It's like, yeah, I understand what you're trying to do. The thing just didn't click.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
So I'm happy that you are happy that you saw it.
Yeah, I am.
But what's your rating?
1 star.
1 out of 5. That sounds
star.
About right.
Yeah.
mine is 1.5.
Yeah.
For you know, I saw Pelé and Ozzy and Bobby Moore. Yeah. So that's 1.5 stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. So if you want to watch this movie and if you have other comments, please let us know at contact@theconversationpodcast.net.
Yes.
We would love to hear from you about this movie if you get the time. It seems like more people are actually watching it right now due to World Cup being on.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Give us feedback.
Yeah. And go and watch it. It's a curiosity.
I think it's great seeing Michael Caine fumble with the ball.
Yes, and Stallone
being a goalkeeper.
Himself. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's all good. He even takes his top off at least once or twice. So,
yeah, and he's sitting in an isolation cell once, like, where it basically looks like he's sitting in a sauna.
Yeah.
Being frustrated with his top off.
Remember that at this point in his career, he was Oscar winner. Sylvester Stallone. I mean, it's Rocky is 76. He got best script, which he wrote himself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's still respected. That's somewhat at that point. I respect him still. I do.
Well, he is respected for the whole Expendables thing, right?
Sure.
Isn't he?
I guess.
Like bringing people together and reliving the 80s.
Yeah. That's a very nice description.
Yeah. So, but anyway, what are our plans for next time?
Incredibles 2? Is that possible?
Maybe if it's on in Sweden. I could go and watch it there.
Are you going to Sweden?
Yeah, no, I'm not. Maybe for the movie. Because it's going to be released here the 28th of August or something.
Oh, it's August. Okay.
Yes.
I think it's released like this week here.
It is like everywhere except for Denmark, because for some reason we want to make room for the Danish films.
That's just annoying.
I think that's the reasoning, actually, because we have very allotted times in the cinemas for Danish cinema as well.
Yeah.
Which makes sense in a way, but it's just annoying when a big movie like this comes out and we get to watch it 2 months later when all the buzz is over and
it's
so hard to not know anything about the movie at that point.
That is annoying. But have you heard anything about Hereditary?
Yes,
coming your way?
And that one is coming actually next week, I think.
I would be interested in that, but it was supposed to be released early June here, but still no sign. I don't know why that is. I'm keeping my fingers crossed about that one.
It's coming here the 28th. Maybe it was pushed back a little bit. I don't know.
If it's coming similar time here, we could do that. That'd be interesting.
It's always fun to watch some horror films in the cinema.
Yeah,
and, it's getting mixed reviews, but leaning towards the better.
I mean, it's Gabriel Tony Byrne Collette. and
Tony Collette.
Yeah, Tony Collette from Muriel's Wedding. I saw that Biopartis is showing a special screening of Muriel's Wedding here.
Okay, a double feature.
Maybe, but
that should be The Sixth Sense and Hereditary.
I might go to that actually. Muriel's Wedding. That'd be cool. I love that film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You should.
Something about that one.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens for next time.
Yes. If anybody has some suggestions, please let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you guys know where to find us and. Please leave us a message or, complain about something or ask us to do something or leave us a review and that'd be nice,
reviews on iTunes.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I think that's the place where we can get bumped up.
Yeah.
Social media, SoundCloud, we're The Conversation Podcast or The Conversation, a Nordic Film Podcast.
Yeah. So I think that's it for our World Cup special. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yes. Well, I actually did.
Yeah,
I actually did.
A little bit surprising, but you're a good sport, Rune. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You're welcome,
so, guys, we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.